School is back, and Dick's Sporting Goods has what you need to win your year. We've got everything from cleats to Sambas, Dunks, and more. Plus, the hottest looks from Nike, Jordan, and Adidas. Find your first day fits in-store or online at Dick's.com.
BMW of Des Moines guest list shapes up like this. It's somewhat of a busy day for us here. We will start with our friend Bill Seals. From CycloneReport.com, he covers Iowa State. T.J. Otzelberg, again, well done, T.J., as the Iowa State men's basketball program is controlling the Big Four narrative, if you will, as they keep trotting them out there, and the media keeps eating it up, and why wouldn't we? So we'll talk to Bill Seals about some men's basketball, recap T.J.'s media availability from yesterday, and look forward to media days coming up next week as the Big 12 media days are set and they begin on Tuesday in Las Vegas. After we speak with Bill Seals, we will talk to Alex Kane. He's the CEO of Sport Trade. Continue to just be blown away by how they're doing business over there and the margins, the hold that they're able to put out there. It is better friendly. If there ever was a better friendly sports wagering site, this is one of the few. Circa is one of the few. Sport Trade, one of the few. But we'll talk to Alex Kane coming up at 11:45. At 12:05, Tom Cakert will join us. We'll talk some Hawks with Tom. And then at 12:30, off to Chicago, we will go. His weekly spot with our friend David Kaplan from ESPN 1000 as Cappy talks Chicago sports. An eventful day for both of the Major League Baseball teams playing in Chicago yesterday. One of their stars decided not to throw the ball at the end of the game. Just, we can't make this throw anyways. I'm going home. The other team on the north side, their $40 million manager continues to think Hayden Wesneski is a starter. And once Trent, good morning.
Hello.
How many weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks ago? We were starting to catch on to Wisniewski's propensity to give up the home run ball, and we actually did some research, and I think it was, I don't know, 4 out of 5 games or something at the time. He's pitched 19.2 innings. His last 19.2 innings, he's given up 10 home runs. That's unsustainable, putting it mildly.
Well, it's sustainable in an awful sense. Just keep serving him up.
Right down the middle. Yeah. What is DeShays call him? Center cut fastball. And that's what it was, and it was again last night. And oh, boy. So we'll talk to Cappy. He should be in one of those type of moods, but looking forward to catching up with Cap and picking his brain. Are there trades on the horizon? Is Nico Horner really available? Are they shopping him? Where is this going? Is Jed Hoyer safe? We know Council's safe, but we shall see. So that's what's coming up on the program before we get out of here just before 1 o'clock and turn things over to Colin Cowherd's show. I believe he's off again today. This may be his final week of vacation, but we'll turn it over to his show before it gets back to local programming from 3 until 6. So the Fever played last night, another banged-out arena, all-time record crowd at T-Mobile, which is somewhat surprising for a sporting event. I mean, Golden Knights were playing for a Stanley Cup this time last year.
Right.
In that building.
Yes.
And weren't able to put as many people into the building as they squeezed in for a WNBA game last night. How about that?
It was a great environment. Seeing Bluter and Jensen there.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yep.
Sitting front row. I think they had some connections to get some seats.
Guessing three of them, yeah.
Yeah, that definitely helped too. And
are they taking the Hawkeye team playing out there? And if not, why not? Because this is huge for the program.
Yeah.
This is marketing dollars well spent.
Well, and you saw both Bluter and Jensen wearing,
of course,
Hawkeye gear.
Absolutely.
Because they probably knew they were going to be on television.
Yeah. And there's three of their alum playing on the floor. Take the plane anywhere you want in the country if this is going to help the program. It certainly can't hurt.
No, not at all.
Right? Because they all speak glowingly of Coach Bluter, now Coach Jensen, and their time at Iowa. So, yeah, keep doing it.
Got away last night in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, putting it mildly.
But the comeback in the third, this Vegas team, they are so good. And
this is Asia Wilson, Trent, is something, isn't she?
That top of the free throw line jumper, it's just automatic.
You can't stop her. And putting the ball on the floor, too.
Yes.
And darting her way through the paint. Wow, what an athlete.
She's incredible.
Well, so, again, we're both kind of new, and I'm kind of apprehensive to even ask you. But you were you found the women's game before I did. Was she dominant in college?
I don't remember this level. I remember she was really good and All-American and all those things. Yeah. But this, no. I mean, to think that she would turn into the best player in the league. I believe it's a surprise. A good player, sure. This,
oof.
She's amazing.
She truly is.
6'4", the length.
Mm-hmm.
She plays
the agility, the athleticism.
She plays like she's 6'7", defensively, mm-hmm. which you don't see much outside yep. of Brittany Griner in the women's game.
Right.
Coupled with just, you mentioned, putting the ball on the deck and getting to the rim. And just, she's so smooth mm-hmm. out there in so many different things. And then you add the jumper that's into it and automatic from 16 feet away. There are so many different levels to this that this team, Chelsea Gray's back. She didn't play great last night offensively. Defensively, though.
Yeah, this team is back.
They are in a big-time way.
Yeah, they're the reason they're the back-to-back defending champs.
Aaliyah Boston's getting it.
Yeah.
She's getting there.
I think the team is better. I'm talking about the Fever.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Fever are appreciatively better than they were when we first started watching.
They're going to fight for a playoff
game. I think they are. I think that they're probably going to find a way to, you know, get that 8 seed.
We know that there are, what, 5 teams that are locked in right now. Minnesota, Seattle, Vegas out west, New York, and Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Those 5 are automatics. And then everybody else is under 500.
So it's who? Atlanta, Chicago, and Indiana fighting for the next?
Phoenix.
Phoenix is in there too.
The top one, yeah.
Okay.
So they'd be the 6 seed right now. Your 7 seed would be Chicago and Atlanta just ahead of the Fever in terms of win percentage as they played a couple more games. And that's the difference in that one. But they're going to be right there.
You're
going to have an opportunity. And you said it. They are so much better than they were. They're still not great.
They've got a lot of work to do. Yeah.
And we've talked about this a little bit in the past. The one thing I thought was going to translate, well, the vision of Caitlin Clark, and there were a couple of just, again, egregious dropping the basketball that's right there for a layup or a blown layup. That throw ahead in the, was it early in the fourth? Just an incredible throw ahead.
Missed.
Clang off the back.
Yeah. She should have more assists.
Yeah.
She should have fewer turnovers.
Yes.
Look, she still turns the ball over too much.
She does.
Here's my question for her. She was a late shot maker.
Yeah.
What's gone on? Is it defense?
That's number one.
Right.
That's number
one. She's facing athletes that are trying to guard her and do so in a fashion that she didn't see, or very seldom saw, put it that way, at the college level.
Everybody knows she wants to go left. Everybody knew she wanted to go left to get the shot off. But now everybody not only knows it, they also have the athletic ability to slow it down and stop it. So that's a component, too. But to see the 1-7 last night from 3.
And it's not her.
25%, I believe, over the last 8 games from 3.
Jeez.
That's just not what
we're used to. Is it fatigue?
I think that's another component. And I said number one's the defense. I think that's number two is tired legs. You can just see it in the shot where it's not that smoothness. It does feel like some tired legs there where it's just more of a hoist. Not that just smooth.
Well, she's played huge minutes and done so since November.
Right.
Right? We're in July.
There's been no break.
None. Very seldom. Well, from the time she got drafted to the time they began, but she's all over the country.
Yeah.
You know, doing commercial stuff, and she was pulled in a lot of directions. Look, I think that, you know, selfishly, I would prefer that she's on the Olympic team because I'd like to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is, in the long game, I think this is better that she's not. Now, she is an all-star. Did you see the All-Star? Do you know who they're playing in the All-Star game?
The Team USA.
They're going to get killed. Not Team USA.
Well, remember,
the WNBA All-Stars.
Well, maybe to our audience. Not to you. But the last time they did this with the last Olympic year.
Yeah, help me out.
The All-Star team beat Team USA.
Are you kidding me?
And this roster. Now,
so is last year's All-Star team now this year's Olympic roster?
For the most part, but I'll tell you, there's some players on this team that very well, they might push them.
I'm all for it.
It could be a game. I don't think, what's the spread going to be? 12, 12 and a half, something like that?
Maybe. Big, yeah.
Look
who she's going up against. My good God. Chelsea Gray, Brittany Griner, Ionescu, Lloyd, Plum, Brianna Stewart, Deanna Taurasi, Asia Wilson, Jackie Young, good God.
Yet, Sabrina Ionescu, Brianna Stewart, Jackie Young, those players are going to be on the WNBA team. Maybe, just maybe, and again, it happened last time. I'll be interested to see what that spread is. I'll probably fire at it.
Well, I'm guessing that you absolutely will. That's coming up. What day? Oh, it's a Saturday night.
Saturday night. Okay.
July 20th, Saturday night at 7:30 our time on ABC. So this will be my first WNBA All-Star experience.
Will be mine as well.
Right? I'm guessing for the most part, it'll be a whole lot of us, our first experience with the WNBA All-Star game. On Sunday, they play Phoenix, right? More eyeballs watch Diana Taurasi play a basketball game than ever before. Ever in her WNBA history, and she's 42 years old, she has never had that many people watching her.
And
wonder why.
It wasn't because all of a sudden people 20 years in said, you know what,
it's time to check her out. Yeah.
Yeah. 22.
Yeah.
22 is the reason for it. And she did right. The way that she...
Oh, absolutely, Trent.
Yes.
The Cold War's over. Mm-hmm. The ice is melting. They're starting to realize, you know what? And if it was just a little bit of a month-long initiation, that's what you have to pay your dues. We're not just going to let you walk in here. And we said that in advance, that you're going to have to earn their respect. I don't think that's unfair.
No,
and I believe she has.
Yes.
And Taurasi said as much. And when you get Diana Taurasi putting that out in public... Yeah, the rest of the league's going to hear that as well.
Doesn't get any easier for the Fever as they welcome in New York.
That's Liberty on Saturday. An early game. Saturday?
Saturday at noon.
Noon, yeah. And that's a network, too.
CBS.
Is it? Yeah. Good. Well, like you say, it doesn't get any easier.
No, well, I'll be Saturday. I'll be watching again.
Yeah, probably will.
Yeah.
Right? I'll be packing. By the way, speaking of packing.
Yes.
Did you see what we're going into? And I know that no one is going to feel sympathy for us. Nor should you. We're going to Las Vegas.
Did you hear Ken Miller complaining about having to go to hot Vegas?
But.
This is not just hot.
This is an Monday has the potential. In fact, the forecast is calling for Monday to set, and this is the desert where it's been hot before, an all-time record for the highest recorded temperature ever, 118 degrees. Now, I thought when I lived out there that we had that. I know we had some buck 16s, but Monday the forecast is for 118 degrees. Will planes land?
Well, that's what I was wondering. Is it going to be so hot that my plane's not going to be able to touch down when I get there Monday evening? Real possibility?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I think
they have to.
Yeah.
I think they do. Normal's 104, so it's supposed to be just 14 degrees over the normal temperature. Mm. That's crazy. For Las Vegas?
Do they got cooling systems on the jetway?
I wonder.
Help out with the tires so they're not melting?
I wonder. Boy, as soon as you walk out and get that cab line or the Uber, they're just going to hit you between the freaking eye. But again, we're going to Las Vegas.
Yes.
We're staying at Circa. We're going to be at Circa, so it's not that bad. But my, oh my, there's going to be... remember the Big 12 media, their last big complaint was at the basketball tournament where, heaven forbed, they have to sit up in the nosebleeds.
Oh, yes,
and they're
yes.
no longer a courtside. Now the temperature is going to be a big talking point for next week. But you know what? There's air conditioning all over Las Vegas.
What are you going to be looking for in Vegas? What are the quotes? Who are the people? What stories are you looking for to get answers to a Big 12 media day next week?
Well, what were you going to ask, Campbell?
What was I going to ask?
I'm going to ask him about September.
September.
Yeah.
It's a huge component.
It is. It is. And why you know, every year there's that, I don't call it down. There's that, you know, unfortunate blemish on their schedule that doesn't go their way. And why did they struggle out of the gate? I'm as much as anything, Trent, selfishly, I want to hear from some of the newbies, but I want to meet some of the newbie writers and report, because our Rolodex, I want to get an Arizona guy, and I want to get a Utah guy, and an Arizona State guy, and a Colorado guy, because this is front and center, right? This is more important than anything for me is bringing this to the audience. So that's what I'm going for.
Right.
Is introducing myself and making some contacts.
A few of those voices that we get in here and getting ready and previewing the matchups that we're going to have. And for the foreseeable future, this is what it's going to be. Arizona State, Utah.
It's just weird, isn't it?
Colorado obviously is not.
Right. Yeah, been there, done that.
Because of the history.
What's weirder, that or the ACC?
Well, it's still the ACC.
It's by a mile, isn't
it? I mean, don't they need to change it? It's not the Atlantic Coast Conference anymore. It's just
the Coast Conference.
Yeah, the CC.
There you go. The CC car. That's pretty good. Do you think of that on your own? That's well done, Trent Condon. But yeah, it's going to be hot, but c'est la vie. We're going to be in Las Vegas and looking forward to it. So Matt Campbell speaks, I think at like 1:20 Pacific, so 3:20 Pacific, or 3:20 Central Time, rather, on Tuesday. I'm guessing Sean and Heather will do their darndest to be able to bring that live. We're going to do the same with Brett Yormark. I want to hear the commissioner, mm-hmm. and the only way we're going to be able to hear the commissioner is through our headsets, because he's talking at noon Central Time on Tuesday. We are going to do our darndest to be able to bring that to you live. Let's get John in here. John, thanks for being patient. What's on your mind, John?
Well, I just reminded me of when I was working in Phoenix on the radio, and it was in the mid-90s, and year-wise, it was in the mid-90s, but temperature-wise, it got to 121.
Oh.
And they did have to close Sky Harbor Airport because the tarmac got squishy. Yeah. Squishy is not good.
No, no.
On a tarmac. No. So you've got a few degrees wiggle room there between 118 and 121. But I do have to say, if you're outside in Vegas in July, you're doing it wrong.
Yes. Yeah. Unless you're on Fremont Street, because I think they attempt to cool that with some of the misting. But anyways.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I hear you.
And 117 is going to be a little more difficult.
Thanks, John. Appreciate hearing from you. Close Sky Harbor. Eesh.
So that's what we're looking at, huh?
I'm going Sunday, Trenton. It's going to be cooler.
A cool
117.
117. Yeah. Oh, you're going to be in good shape then.
Yep.
That degree is going to be the difference.
Oh, huge difference. And it's a dry heat. It's a dry heat after all. So baseball from last night. Your Twins won. The Cubs, again, lost the first game of a series. I think Cappy said it, eight straight series now. They've lost game one of the series. But sir, when it comes back to Wisniewski, what are we trying to do here? Mm-hmm. Are we waving the flag?
Well, what's the alternative? That's the problem.
Is there somebody here?
There isn't. You know, we talked to Tommy Burch yesterday, mm-hmm. and that's looking at the numbers. And that's why I asked him, because none of the numbers say, well, this guy needs to be up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, is there a guy that caught his eye? And the guy he mentioned had an ERA like 10.12. So that's what's
fits right
here.
In then.
you're exchanging crap for crap, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And that's
how
what
are we
is.
So wrong on this team?
I don't know. I didn't.
The Cubs this year are last year's Cardinals, because we thought they were going to run away with the division. They finished last. So if you're looking for baseball advice, go elsewhere.
20th in the league in runs scored per game, 26th in hits, 25th in batting average. On base percentage, 15th. All right.
Yeah, but they don't stay on base very long because they get picked off.
Slugging percentage, 25th. OPS, 23rd. Well, the pitching staff's got to be good. No, the pitching staff is not good. 16th in hits allowed, 15th in batting average against, 15th in ERA, WHIP in 17th. It's just a poorly constructed team.
It is.
No star.
No, none.
A lot of useful pieces individually.
Yeah. I'd go there with you.
But the combination of them didn't work. And did we get fooled the way they ended last season? Now, the Arizona games
aside. Because they were kind of doing this last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
that's fair.
And short of the Arizona series, they were a playoff team last year.
Well, remember this time last year, they were sell, then all of a sudden turned it around. And then, as you mentioned, with the exception, I think it was the final two series of the year last year, and specifically the Arizona series, kept them out of the playoffs.
They have the third worst record in the National League. However, they're 5.5 back of a wild card spot. Now they also have to
jump.
How many
teams? Yeah,
7 teams to get back into the wild card spot. But that's a lot of teams to pass. As we look over the next 28 days to the trade deadline.
Yeah,
I don't know offhand how many games. Say it's 25 that they play. They have to go 15-10.
Just to prevent
to say we're not going to be sellers. They're still under 500. Even if they go 15-10 over the next 25. I don't know if that's enough.
No, I don't think it is either. I don't think it is. Because even if you get in, are you really going anywhere? I mean, I know if you get in, you have a chance. I know. But
did you have Texas, Arizona last year?
I did, actually. Why Texas, not Arizona? But I got lucky. The Dodgers, the Phillies. I'll tell you what, the Brewers are making some noise. They got Savali today as they shored up their pitching. I don't think he's an all-star.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
He's fine.
He's fine.
We get to see Imanaga tonight.
Yeah, and he's up against Zach Wheeler, right?
What's going on here? After an incredible start, ERA south of 2.
Mm-hmm.
South of 1 for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, might have been.
Gave up.
No, it was Trent.
Yeah.
It was Trent.
Gave up 7 against Milwaukee at the end of May. Came back, gave up 5, but only one of them earned against the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple of good starts.
Yep.
And then the disaster against the Mets. And was, well, it was a quality start against San Francisco last time out. But even that one, hey, went 6-3. Okay, that's a quality start. He only had 3 strikeouts. Arm, fatigue.
You wonder.
Going from a 5-day rest down to a 4-day rest.
Yep.
Is that becoming impactful for him? Hard to tell, but at 30 years old, that is concerning.
You know what? It kind of goes hand in hand with the start that the team has, his start, because everybody was on, oh my God, what a signing. And I'm not saying it's a bad signing. I think it's a good signing.
Mm-hmm.
But the team was got off to such a great start. You're feeling really good about this team's chances to at least be in the hunt, you know, throughout the summer months. This is abysmal. I mean, thank God for Suzuki to at least made it close, but you knew what was coming after that. There's nobody out. It's the 9th inning, a 3-run home run at 6-4. Nobody out. Bing, bang, boom. You know, the Morrell, Swanson, and who was the other one? I don't remember, but they went down sheepishly, and the game was over.
What other baseball note from last night? Well, a couple. De La Cruz, you saw his shot down the right field.
My God.
Just absolutely
He's
incredible.
So fun to watch.
He is worth the price of admission. But I was up late, as I always am, last night.
So what were you watching last night?
Dodgers Diamondbacks.
Were you?
And didn't even have a bet on it, just watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had saw just the highlight earlier that Ohtani had hurt his foot, fouled one off his foot.
This is before or after the home run?
This is before. It was his first at-bat of the game. Fouled it off the foot and looked like, you know, they're probably, I mean, it's Shohei Ohtani. Let's just pull him out. No.
Right.
Goes out there second time, strikes out, and looked awful. Just absolutely brutal. And then his third time, he hit a 450-foot home run.
He's a machine.
SportsCenter after the game last night, they had breaking news that Shohei Ohtani will not be in the home run derby. I'm like, is that really breaking news? They had, like, you know, the red banner underneath.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what is this? Oh, that's the breaking news.
And that was the
Welcome to July, right?
Yeah, it was. I know I was watching Sunday Night Baseball, and Gunnar Henderson broke the news to the crew.
On the field.
That was great.
That
was good. Boy, is he a star. That's what I watched late last night after the basketball. I was over watching the Mariners and the Orioles.
Told you that was going to be a good pitching
matchup.
It was
a good game. It was a good game.
Rodriguez is a stud.
Yes, that's a good game. Those are two good teams.
Up to double digits. Yeah, that could be our ALCS.
Do you think?
Yes.
I have no Seattle.
That rotation.
I know.
Is as good as anybody.
I agree.
They can throw it. And if Julio can find a way to heat up, it's going to happen. Polanco's been a disaster after he came over from Minnesota. He's been
banged up. Oh, he had a big hit the other night. But yeah, you're right.
2 strikeouts last night, 0 for 3. He just has not been able to swing. Well, nobody was able to swing it for Seattle at all yesterday. Just 2 hits overall. Kirby, great. That staff. And that's what I keep going back to. What do we tell you? Oh, you got to have pitching in the playoffs. They have it. A pretty good bullpen, but most importantly, maybe 1 through 4, the best rotation we'll see in the playoffs.
Mm.
That could be the Seattle Mariners.
Wow. How about that? We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk some Cyclones. Bill Seals is here. We will pick his brain on what he heard yesterday from TJ Otzelberger, et cetera. And then we'll do a little pre-Vegas Big 12 Media Days with Bill Seals. Miller and Condon, it's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. It's 11:30 as we take you up until 1 o'clock. Let's talk some Iowa State, shall we? TJ Otzelberger met with the media yesterday. Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com, part of it, as he will be part of the contingent of media headed out to cover Big 12 Media Days in Las Vegas starting Tuesday. For Iowa State, they're Tuesday, and along with half of the teams, the other half go on Wednesday. Bill joins us. Hello, Bill Seals. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Well, good. Looking forward to Las Vegas and 118-degree weather, but nothing you can do about that, right? Anyways, before we get into football, let's talk basketball from yesterday. I continue to be impressed by A.T.J. understanding that – You know what? If you call the media availability, you're going to get some coverage in a time that most people will be thinking about football. I'm going to keep my basketball program on the front of mind, and that's what he's doing, and I certainly appreciate that. I think I speak on behalf of a whole bunch of media members here in the community. But anyways, what was one or two of your takeaways listening to T.J. Otzelberger speak yesterday, Bill?
Well, I think it was encouraging to get maybe a little more clarification on Taman Lipsey, and I think it's encouraging to hear he's only about a week away, and I think he should be able to get some good full contact work in before they break up for a few weeks and then come back for the start of classes. So that's encouraging, and then on the same injury front, Joshua Jefferson still sounds like he's a little ways out and might not even be back until the end of this month, start of next month. And then as I was mentioning, with Lipsey, they break at a point there in August and then come back for the start of classes. So I think that's still kind of to be determined, and it also maybe lends itself to this Milan, Momčilović four-man role and how he's working a lot there, because you haven't really seen a whole lot of Jefferson so far. So maybe Deshaun Jackson, Brant Chatfield, those guys work it out at the five, and maybe Milan is the four, and they start Curtis Jones. So some talk yesterday as well from Curtis Jones. So some good stuff there, I think, from TJ. And then he talked, I think, on the record for the first time about that tournament they're going to be in Vegas next year, and I think that's a great opportunity for the Cyclones, and what a great idea for a tournament as well that benefits NIL, and of course you're getting the top teams in there when you're talking NIL money. So should be two years straight of really good multi-team events for this team.
This tournament in Vegas, boys, I'm here to tell you, is going to be the destination.
How are they going to make money at this thing?
Good question. I guess
right.
I don't know if it's long term. That's my question.
Is the city involved? Is the county involved?
It's a lot of money to put up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a lot of money to put up, and you just wonder over the next couple of years. Is
I don't like you throwing cold water on this event, because I think it was going to be a hell of a deal. But anyways, go ahead, Bill. Sorry to interrupt you.
Great. No, that's okay. I think it'll be a great event, but I think as Trent was saying, you wonder about that aspect. Mm-hmm. And I just think as NIL continues to evolve and if it becomes fully in-house, how this event changes or adapts, or maybe it just goes away when it's fully in-house. But, no doubt, I think, again, next season this Iowa State team's going to be really good, and this should be a good barometer, I think, in November for them.
One angle when I saw that TJ was going to be available yesterday I was hoping to get a little bit more information on was Dwayne Pierce, the incoming freshman leaving the program. Personal reasons was what was talked about a week ago. And we didn't get a whole lot out of TJ on that front. It was a very quick response, wish him the best, and that was it on that. Can you tell us anything, what's going on here with Dwayne Pierce and his decision in the summer, getting ready to start his
campaign?
Could it be minutes? It could be that, but he would have known, you'd think, when he signed on the dotted line. Mm-hmm. Can you help us out here, Bill?
Well, yeah, I think TJ kind of stayed on it's kind of the similar messaging that we got, really, after Tyrese Hunter and that news and after that broke. So I think with Pierce, we never got really anything directly from him either, so it's all just speculation. But I think he's someone that, maybe his redshirt fate was maybe sealed a little bit when Curtis Jones came back. And you just wonder, you get here and they really hit the ground running, and a lot of the players will tell you this is the most difficult part of the entire calendar year for them is right now. Mm-hmm. So you're a true freshman, you're looking at so much returning depth there in the backcourt. You've got Noyes Andrasaitis coming in. I think with him, he was probably looking at a redshirt year, guys, and you put in a lot of work this time of year to prepare for something like that, and then maybe being homesick to an extent too, and being away from your family for the first time, and being a New York kid, and I think probably a lot of factors contributed to that.
Are we underestimating what Nate Heisey's going to bring to this team? I think they've got something here in the UNI transfer. I think he's going to do a lot of little things. I like this game at UNI. I'm anxious to see him play in the Big 12. I think it transitions to that conference. Are we maybe underappreciated what Heisey's going to bring, at least at this point? We'll be pleasantly surprised what kind of season he has.
Yeah, I think what I've heard so far that he's a great defensive player in this group, and he's really made a big impression there. I think that's positive. If you've got someone like that can come in and guard one of the top one or two opposing players, and then it takes some of the pressure off of a Lipsy or a Gilbert or a Curtis Jones. You can bring him in and really do a good job there. And then I think you saw too at UNI, what I think he had a season high average he averaged the most points of his career, I believe, last year. So he's continued to improve there on the offensive end, one of the top one or two players in that UNI lineup scoring wise. So I think he really gives them a huge boost on both ends of the floor. But now it just becomes a question is just how many minutes here this season, because as I mentioned, Indrasadas comes in. I think physically he's gotten a lot bigger so far, and I think he'll be ready to go. And then you've got obviously those three guards returning, so a lot of choices to make. And I'll tell you what, those two exhibition or those secret scrimmages that they play every year before the non-con starts,
right,
those are going to be very interesting. I'd like to be a fly on the wall in some of those that they don't really release a whole lot, but could be very interesting.
The question was asked about non-conference, and when you look at Maui, okay, that's difficult, and you look at a couple of the other, wasn't asked though about the bye games. Do we know exactly what the philosophy, because it's not just bye games. Everybody plays bye games. They play the worst of the worst. And I still think it impacted them a year ago as it pertained to getting that last number two seed, even opposed to one of the top number two seeds. Now, eventually it didn't matter. They didn't even get to the lead eight. But it just, I don't know. The philosophy behind not just playing bad teams, but playing the Mississippi Valley states, the Texas Southerns of the world, the teams that are in the 330s and worse every year in your non-conference bye games.
Yeah, I just I don't think that's going to change, especially now that they're going to a 20-game league schedule. A lot of TJ talked about that a little bit yesterday, and I think between Maui, they'll play at Iowa. I don't know where Iowa finishes in those ranks, but that'll be a road game. Maybe I guess a chance at a quad one there, depending on how that works out and being on the road. So I just don't think that's going to change. I think right now they're worried about getting through that 20-game Big 12 schedule, the best conference in the country, and still being in decent shape come tournament time. So I don't think they're really going to take on a whole lot more outside of that MTE tournament that they've got. Iowa, I think at home they get Marquette. So it's not going to get much more difficult than that, with especially with those 20 league games coming. And I think you saw last season in March, Lipsy was so beat up with that shoulder, and I don't think that was the only thing really hobbling him. So, and then some of the other guys on the team too, probably not 100% either. So, I just don't think that portion of the season's going to get a whole lot more difficult.
Football wise, Bill, off to Vegas we will go next week. Iowa State is their turn is on Tuesday. I think Coach Campbell's the last coach on Tuesday to meet the media. What do you expect to hear next week at Big 12 Media Days?
Well, it's going to be certainly interesting to have some new teams out there represented. The first day, obviously, with Iowa State coming in there to cap things off with Matt Campbell, and Day two, get Colorado. I'm sure that'll bring in a contingent as well, and also Arizona in there capping things off as well on Wednesday. But I think it's pretty well balanced. Utah is there Tuesday, the preseason favorite to win the Big 12. I think a lot of those other teams maybe have a little something to say about that. We won't get much out of the head coaches of those other teams, but maybe the players will have a few opinions on that. And then and it'll be interesting to see, too, Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State. It's always a lot of fun if you guys are there on Tuesday and you get him in one of those breakout sessions. It's entertaining to get some of the takes of some of these guys. You know, Holgorsen last year at Houston, gosh, he was a treat in one of those breakout sessions as well. So these things are so valuable, not just what they're going to say on TV in front of the cameras, the formal press conference, but, you know, to get some of these guys off on the side, it's always a lot of fun, and it's going to be great to learn about some of those new programs in the Big 12.
And a new look over at CycloneReport.com. Fill us in on the details, because it is sharp.
That's great. I'm glad you guys liked that. Yeah, there were a few bugs that they worked through that first day, but I think that it's looking pretty sharp right now, and still some customization that I'm going to make on the front page and kind of spotlight more of the Cyclone Report, the Iowa State specific content. But yeah, I like the way it looks right now, and plenty of new features coming out there. So a lot of fun.
Good stuff. Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com. Bill, we'll see you in Las Vegas. You get out there Monday?
Yeah. We Trent and I talked about that the other night, actually.
You're on the same flight?
We bumped into each other at baseball. But yeah, we get out on, I think, Monday late morning, maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock. My wife has the itinerary. She's coming. So yeah, we get a direct flight. That's always good. So yeah, might catch you guys Monday evening out at Circa. Should be a lot of
Tuesday,
fun.
Tuesday at Circa.
Or Tuesday, yeah, guys. Tuesday I had Circa. My dates wrong. Tuesday.
No, we'll be there Monday,
okay.
Too. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you staying at
something else? Yeah. Something else that should be interesting out there too, guys. I wasn't sure if you caught this, but Team USA is playing Team Canada.
We're going. Trent and I are going.
You're going.
Yeah, we got tickets.
Credentialed?
No, we got tickets.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, I actually got a credential for that, so it would be one of my top, you know, 5 or 10 experiences. Being in the media and getting in there and seeing those guys and getting Tyrese Halliburton for a little bit. So, yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
I never even thought about that angle.
Yeah, but you can't drink beer.
You can. You just can't sit in the press box.
In the press, yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Bill, we'll see you out there. You're staying at the media hotel, or where are you at?
You know, we're down at the Excalibur. It's pretty close.
Yeah,
to the,
not bad at
the,
all. I mean,
yeah. So it should
walking
be convenient
wise.
In that. Yeah. Well, if you want to walk in 118 degrees.
The answer is no, you don't. Yeah. No, you don't. We'll see you there, Bill. Thank you.
Sounds good, guys.
Yep.
See ya.
Bill Seals, CyclingReport.com. Yeah, we're going to Team USA, Team Canada Wednesday night, T-Mobile Center.
Are you
going to
be wearing your Canadian flag T-shirt or something like that?
You know, I looked. I don't think I have anything.
I think we need Kale in between us. I mean, I don't need to go across and...
Yeah,
you're getting a little lippy over there during Team USA versus Team Canada.
My son's a Canadian too, you know, because he's got dual citizenship because the old man's a Canuck.
Oh man, I might need to switch seats with somebody.
Yeah, so it'll be Kale and his date, Sage, and then you and I.
That'll be fun.
You know how much tickets were? I haven't told you this yet.
Uh-oh.
Buck and a half.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
It's pricey to see, anyways.
We're on the floor though, right?
Oh, yeah. No, we're on the, what do you call those seats?
The
Hollywood
seats?
Yeah. That's where we'll be.
Look for us on TV if they pay into the
Is there television? I wonder if there's, there has to be for this kind of event. But no, I'm looking forward to going. It should be fun as we'll wrap things up before we head back home. So on Thursday, we're going to have guest hosts.
Yes.
I'm excited for this.
Absolutely. It'll be Lucas who will be here with Justin. They'll be filling in for us. We'll be checking
Develop
in.
Develop a bench.
Absolutely.
KXNO.
We need that.
Yes, we do.
And crack for the young guys to step in and help us out a little bit.
Just don't be too good.
Right. Yeah.
Right. That's all we ask.
Don't take our jobs.
Right. Don't be too good. It's 1:45. We'll talk to our friend from Sport Trade when we come back. Miller and Condon with you until 1. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO with you here until 1 o'clock. Well, let's talk about our friends at Sport Trade, shall we? Alex Kane, he's the CEO of the newest entry into the Iowa sports betting landscape. You've heard him on the program before, and he's back with us today. Alex, Trent Condon, Ken Miller, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. How have you been?
What's up, Ken? What's up, Trent? Happy fourth, boys.
Yes, and to you, sir, and to you. You know, I continue to be impressed that, A, your transparency, and B, that you're willing to work with such low margins, which is great for the better. It really is, but it's such a breath of fresh air because most of the big operators, they want to scoop as much as they can, but your theoretical holds are just, like I say, a breath of fresh air. We haven't seen anything like this since you guys came into the marketplace, Alex.
Yeah, we're really excited. We it's all about treating customers the right way, right? Like I want to walk you through a new market we have. We're top 10 and talk to the players about just how crazy these odds differences are. But the reason we're doing it is it's just like the right thing to do. I don't know. That's just like my best answer. It's not that we have a certain target for profitability or any of these things. It's like we think we can make this work in a lot of these states. And to stand out, you have to be differentiated. Let's be honest. DraftKings, FanDuel, Caesars, MGM, you know, those have pretty strong products and a lot of users. And we can't come in with a Me Too product. We have to come in and do something different. And SportsTrade is different. And the way it's the most different is the price you're going to get on each of your bets.
And if the bettors are winning more, they're going to invest. It's the churn. We talk about that a lot in the industry that I'm in, horse racing. You don't want like a pick six and one guy scooping millions of dollars. You want them to cash tickets and keep betting and keep going back for the next race. And you guys doing the same. If the bettors are winning more, they're not going to sit out as many games. I think it's brilliant strategy.
Yeah, I guess it's a bit more of an old school strategy.
Yeah.
But that extends to in-play, too. I sent out a tweet the other day, and I was looking at our MLB markets are continuing to gain. The limits are going up. The prices are getting better. If you're in Iowa, you're going to get a better price, for the most part, betting, you know, an in-game money line on SportsTrade. You get about minus 107 lines than you would a pregame almost everywhere else. And so it's not just on the pregame stuff. Where we're most excited is the in-game where you place a bet on SportsTrade, and that cash out value is going to be so much closer to what you bought in for than, you know, you're listening out there. You've been like me, you put $100 down on whatever app and it's worth 82, and you're thinking to yourself, how is that possible? How is my $100 worth 82 right now? So we're trying to collapse that spread. And to us, it's like, it just means the customer is going to be able to play longer.
Yep.
They're going to be able to bet more over a longer time with the same amount of money. And you know, who wouldn't want to do that?
Right. Sounds pretty good, I think, to everybody involved. Alex, you mentioned the golf market, and this is our, I guess, local golf tournament. It's on the wrong side of the river over on the Illinois side in the Quad Cities, but the John Deere Classic this week. Now, it's not star-studded, but there's plenty of names in there. Jordan Spieth will be playing this weekend. You mentioned those top 10 markets and the difference there. I'm looking at one of the big shops, Jordan Spieth, to finish in the top 10 is plus 260. Jason Day, plus 330. Things like that. And the difference between those prices, not just for an outright market, but even a top 10, it is so substantial with what you guys do at SportsTrade. Give us a couple of prices that are jumping off to you if people are looking to bet the John Deere Classic coming up this weekend.
Yeah, so before I came on, I just was browsing down FanDuel. And, you know, SportsTrade's had outrights for some time, and the outrights are great. They're fantastic. You're always going to get a better price. The top 10s is where I think books add a lot more big. And when we just released this market today, in fact, it's being put on the app right now. When I look at FanDuel for, let's say, you know, Denny McCarthy, they have them at plus 200. We have plus 325. Some JM, they have them at plus 160. This is for top 10, remember. We have it at plus 200. When I went down the top, you said Jason Day. We've got Jason Day at about plus 460 in terms of top 10. So when I'm going and I'm comparing to some of these bigger books, you're going to get, as a customer, essentially an unlimited 50% odds boost, no matter who you bet on.
Yeah.
And I think that's been interesting for us. It's like books try to put their best foot forward on the markets that people really pay attention to. But when you start to go into these more esoteric, like top 10, top 5 markets, they can jack up the VIG. Mm-hmm. And so what the great thing about SportsTrade is we're kept honest by the fact that we're always giving you a yes and a no price. Mm-hmm. So we can't really slide the yes price to a horrible price because it'll make the no price look really juicy. So we're keeping ourselves honest by keeping all these markets two-sided. And as we mentioned last week, we have a lot of players betting no. Well, now betting no becomes a lot more feasible. We have Sungjae Im, yes, plus 200 top 10. His no price is just minus 240. So we're keeping those spreads very, very tight, allowing players to play the yes and the no side. And as I like to joke my dad, if you play on Sportrade, you're going to get like a 50% odds boost on some of these outright markets.
And we hear it all the time. What's the odds boost? Now, you guys also have boosts over there at Sportrade, but we hear that incessantly. And we say with companies like what you guys do, you are making your own bonuses. If you're winning, if you're doing this in a good way, you're creating your own bonuses and you don't have to worry about them giving you a little button that you can click and you get that 50% odd boost. You said it, you're doing it every single time. This is the way it should be for the sports bettor out there. And so happy to have you guys here in the state of Iowa.
Hmm.
Yeah, we've joked internally, like, should we add the button? You know, should we show the, you know, the FanDuel or MGM price and allow you to sort of course, the only difference is, our button is unlimited, meaning there's no $20 maximum, $10 maximum.
Yeah.
You're going to get a 50% odds boost. I mean, I'm looking at some of the other guys. Aaron Rye, we have plus 260. Competition is plus 180. Davis Thompson, we're plus 280. Competition is plus 220. So there's not really a lot of examples where you're going to get a better price. Of course, you should always shop. You should always shop on price. But we sort of joke, like, man, should we build like a little odds boost comparison tool within the app so that customers can really see, like, wow, it's sort of like the Black Friday thing where, you know, Walmart will take a $200 TV and tell you it's $300. And then when they open the store on Black Friday, it's ta-da, it's 33% off, it's a $200 TV. When in reality, it was always a $200 TV. So I guess what we're trying to do is tell you, no, the price of the TV was always $200. And we're going to sell it to you for $150.
Alex, you get the sense that that some of the states and maybe the feds are starting to realize that, you know, that there are some operators out there that are just gouging, and that will at least get closer to what you at Sportrade are doing, because we're seeing, you know, these in Massachusetts, they're bringing all their operators in. I could see this expanding through the states. Do you think that this is something that sports bettors are just finally starting to see, like, enough's enough? Let's rein this in a little bit and make it a little bit fairer to the bettors, as you guys have done since day one.
I think you're going to start to see that trend. I think where you're really going to start to see it is it's got to start with the customer first, right? It's got to be broken down in a way that's conversational and understandable for the average player. And I think where you're really going to start to see that is you're going to have, you know, two folks sitting on the couch, and one's going to be using a Circa or a Sportrade, and the other one's going to be using one of those bigger books that you mentioned. And they're both going to place that $10 bet on, let's say, Jordan Spieth, top 10, right? Well, if one is saying, hey, if this wins, I get $18 in profit, and the other one says, if this wins, I'm getting $28 in profit, it puts it in a way that's a lot easier to understand. Mm-hmm. And Trent, back to your point, I do think expressing our prices as an odds boost is maybe precisely what we need to do.
I agree.
Because a lot of people say, hey, customers aren't price sensitive. Well, you know what customers are? They're boost sensitive.
Yes.
Can you, Trent, and I know that a boost and a price is the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's on companies like Sportrade and Circa to think more creatively about the way we introduce the big difference in price. Of course, without it coming across too, without misrepresenting anything. And that's where it's a little bit tough. But at the same time, you have these bigger books presenting these odds boosts, and as we've just described, you could get a 50% odds boost token right now on FanDuel on half these guys, and you're still getting a worse price for four trades. So that's where it's a little bit tough, is like, how do you present it to the players so that you're putting your best foot forward, but you're not misleading? And I think some of these other companies, what they're doing, saying I have a 20% odds boost. Well, 20% odds boost to what? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like
to a bad price. To a bad price. Yep. And that's what you get in some of the big ones, that are out there. Well, it is Wednesday. That's when we talk to you, Alex, and it's a Whale Wednesday. I love what you guys have there with the whale tracker that happens each and every day. And one came in today that certainly lit up my eyes. Somebody's betting on the godforsaken Cubs today. $3,000 bet at plus 113 against the Phillies. You're a Phillies fan. How crazy is this guy?
Zach Wheeler.
You know, the Phillies have gone through a little bit of a, I wouldn't call it a slump as a big Phillies fan.
The Cubs will cure them.
last night, I think the Phillies got the better of them 6-1 in that range. I don't know who's pitching today.
It's Zach Wheeler.
One of the cool,
yeah.
Exactly. Well, okay. Well, there you have your answer, unfortunately, yeah. If you're on the Cubs side of that. But who knows? But one of the things we've done recently in our MLB markets is we've really raised the limit. So you're going to get about a $5,000 limit at the price that you see. Of course, if you want more, you can text us. If you want more, you can enter a bigger size, and we'll show you a slightly different price. But we've seen the limits come up and the pricing come in for MLB. And if you look at our markets for MLB right now, you have basically 8 to 10 cent lines across the board for, as I mentioned, that, you know, $4,000 to $5,000 range. So it's been really cool to see those limits are coming up, the prices are coming in, and the volume is coming up, because you're players that say, you know what, I might not want to take this bet at -108, but now you're offering me -104. That turns it into a yes from a no. And so we started to see anecdotally that volume in the MLB come up, and we're so excited for what that could mean come NFL season as we try to replicate, you know, higher limits and even better prices.
We are out of time. Alex Gaines, Sport Trade, available in the state of Iowa. Download the app. Alex, have a great rest of your week. Happy 4th. Thanks for popping on. Talk to you next week. Alex Gaines, Sport Trade. Hour 2 is next.